Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. The January 6th committee recommends criminal charges against former President Trump.
Evidence we've gathered points to further action beyond the power of this committee or the Congress to help ensure accountability under law. Accountability that can only be found in the criminal justice system.
The committee recommending the DOJ charge Trump with obstruction of an official proceeding, conspiracy to defraud the government, conspiracy to make a false statement, and inciting, aiding, or assisting an insurrection.
CBS's Deborah Alfarone says a conviction would ban Trump from running in 2024. Trump's former lawyer, John Eastman.
It's a dangerous step that this committee, it seems to me, has undertaken. I'll say more than dangerous. It is a Stalinist tactic, and we ought to be opposing it with all of our might.
Eastman pleaded the fifth when he testified back in June. The end of Title 42 is on hold for now. CBS's Matt Piper.
Chief Supreme Court Justice John Roberts has temporarily blocked the Biden administration from ending a pandemic-era policy of rapidly expelling migrants caught at the U.S.-Mexico border. What's known as Title 42 was set to end Wednesday, and a host of migrants have been holed up at the border awaiting that to happen so that they can cross into the U.S. Roberts' decision came with a request of Republican officials in 19 states, led by Arizona and Louisiana.
FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried may be extradited from the Bahamas soon.
A small police convoy escorted the prison van taking Sam Bankman-Fried to a courthouse in the Bahamas. There, he was expected to drop his opposition to extradition to the U.S., where he's facing 8 charges over the collapse of his cryptocurrency company, FTX. But his lawyers told the court the 30-year-old wants to see the U.S. indictment against him first. So back he went to the notoriously squalid Foxhall prison. Vicky Barker, CBS News.
Russia launched another wave of drone attacks in Ukraine as President Putin traveled to Belarus for more military support. State Department spokesman Ned Price.
We've also made clear to Belarus that if it allows its territory to be used for an attack on Ukraine, it would face a swift and decisive response from the United States and our allies and partners.
Parts of the South could feel the freeze this week. CBS meteorologist David Parkinson.
Sub-freezing temperatures in Texas with wind chills far below that. In fact, our high temperature as we go into the day on Thursday in the Texas Panhandle might be as low as a single digit.
A blizzard could hit the Midwest and Great Lakes region. This is CBS News.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. State lawmakers say the Evers administration should share more information about the rest of the $1.9 billion in pandemic relief money Wisconsin got from Washington and how it will be spent. Wisconsin got $5.7 billion, and $3.7 billion of that has already been spent. Outside analysts say much of Wisconsin's pandemic relief money has gone to small businesses. People in Wisconsin have $640 million worth of assets, like cash from forgotten savings accounts, uncashed payroll checks and stocks and mutual funds, and unclaimed money from safe deposit boxes. The director of tax operations says 1 in 10 people in Wisconsin has unclaimed assets coming to them. In sports, the Packers host the Rams tonight. The Bucks are at New Orleans. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Work, the kids' practices, household errands. Seems like every hour's rush hour at our house. But no matter how busy things get, we still make balanced nutrition a priority with help from Country Hearth Natural Breads. Whole grains and other natural ingredients are carefully blended and baked into delicious, nutritious breads like Dakota-style 12-grain, multigrain, and 100% whole wheat. There's a Country Hearth favorite for everyone in the family. Country Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
WAUK 540 AM. New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Good evening, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is the Paul Revere Show. We are here at the Shaw every Monday night from 7 to 8, WAUK 540 AM and 101 or 92.7 FM. We've been on for most of the year, and we've been focusing on democracy and justice issues in this great state of ours that is always looking forward. And tonight, I am so excited to have back Sarah Rodriguez. She's been on a couple of times before.
I have.
But she was here as a candidate. And tonight, she is here as the Lieutenant Governor-elect.
Yes.
Welcome, Lieutenant Governor-elect.
Thank you so much for having me. I am just so happy to be here, especially in my hometown of Waukesha. This is fantastic, and I am just so grateful and humbled that Wisconsin has chosen me to be their next lieutenant governor.
Yeah, for real. Congratulations. I'm really, really excited. I voted for you.
Thank you.
But I think you bring a really fresh perspective. I think the fact that you are from Waukesha is a very, very big deal,
mm-hmm.
Because there is this myth in my state that somehow if you don't live in Milwaukee, where I live, or Madison, mm-hmm. where the governor lives, that
there's no way there's Democrats out here,
yeah,
right?
No, right? This is what I know, right? My mom used to live up in Washira County in Wautoma, and my sister still lives up there. I mean, that county voted for Barack Obama in 2008. So we are a purple state.
We absolutely are. We are a purple state.
I'm just delighted that you're here to share this time with our listeners in your home county.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get into sort of the election and what happened and where do you want to go, there was a big, big, big parade in town yesterday.
There was. Yep. And I walked in it. I walked in the parade. Yep. Yesterday, the Waukesha Parade. And I walked in it last year as well. And so it was a really, honestly, an emotional experience for me because walking in the parade last year, I was in the front of the parade, so didn't see much of what had happened besides the chaos afterwards. But my son goes to Waukesha South High School, and those videos that you see of that marching band, that's the Waukesha South High School marching band. And so this is personal for me. This was something that affected our family dramatically. I was on the phone last year for hours with just sobbing parents talking to me about what happened with their kids and asking me if I was okay, because I had walked in that parade. And so it was a very good experience for me to walk again. I was able to speak to some of the dancing grannies that were here. I was so glad that they came back. I did talk to some of the kids at the Waukesha South Band. I was able to talk to them and really just thank them for coming back and showing such fortitude and courage to do this again, because it was so important for our community to heal. And I really felt like that happened yesterday.
That's great to hear, right? We have a Christmas parade, right? It is a time to renew, a time to think, a time to celebrate. For people of faith, it's a time to begin Advent and to have this tragedy devastate the community. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't around yesterday. Folks were here at the radio station out front.
Yeah, I got to talk to a couple of them.
Yeah, I heard the rumor was that you shouted out and said hi.
Yeah, I did. I did.
But it was really exciting. I did see the news clips.
Yeah.
There were a lot of folks.
There were so many people that came. And I even watched some of the coverage afterwards and saw some friends in the crowd that got interviewed by some of the TV stations. And it was just really nice to be able to see everybody. And it was such a welcoming crowd. And it wasn't too cold. So that was good. It was a little chilly, about 35, 34 degrees. But it was just so nice to be able to walk down the streets of Waukesha. And I love downtown Waukesha. It's so beautiful, especially during the holidays. If anybody hasn't been down here, you should come. There's amazing restaurants, a lot of big music scene, actually, in Waukesha as well. And so I really just encourage anybody to check it out.
That's terrific. If there is a lesson or one observation that you took from yesterday's and your walk, sort of revisiting, what would that be?
That we came together as a community after this tragedy and that we really looked out for each other. There were so many stories that came out of the Waukesha Parade that I still keep near to my heart, whether it's nurses or physicians in the crowd that came to help people who were injured, and they just absolutely ran into the crowd to be able to do that. One of the things that people might not know about is that Waukesha has a pretty large Latino community, and some of them are monolingual Spanish speakers, and some of those families were hurt in the parade. And we also have a program within Waukesha, a dual language program, where kids can learn to speak Spanish and both English at the same time. And many of those students translated for the medical professionals on site. They translated for the firefighters and the EMTs and those nurses and doctors that did what they needed to do when they were there. And that's the kind of story that I want people to remember after the Christmas parade, is how much this community came together. And we just broke records in terms of donating to the United Way Fund and giving dollars back to those affected families, which I think was so, so important, and that they were able to have those medical bills covered and be able to start that healing process. Even if they weren't physically injured, witnessing something like that is just devastating for children and devastating for families.
Well, thanks for that. So in the spirit of community coming together and sharing their grief and figuring out how to start over. Here you are now, the number two spot after the governor in the state,
right?
As soon as you get sworn in, when does that happen?
January 4th, Tuesday. It's a Tuesday. Yes, I know.
So,
counting down the days. But yeah, no, January 4th.
Well, right. So on January 4th, you're going to have these constitutional burdens.
Mm-hmm.
And we had this parade in this spirit yesterday. So mm-hmm. How do you take this? You know, we're in a purple state.
Yeah.
But you're part of a blue team that won for that office.
Right.
What do you see that you can bring to the discussion in the state and between rural Wisconsin and cities like Waukesha and Milwaukee?
So, number one, I've lived in Waukesha County. I grew up here. I grew up in Brookfield. I live in Waukesha now. It was actually kind of funny. My parents had different political parties growing up, and they used to joke that they both had to vote to cancel each other out. And so we always had really good, solid policy discussions around our kitchen table, whether you were a Democrat or a Republican. And living in Waukesha County, which is still red, It's moving. It's moving.
No, I mean, I call it purple.
It's purple. It's just getting purple.
It's a shade of purple.
It's a shade of purple. Yeah. It is absolutely moving. You know, I have friends and family members and neighbors who vote Republican, and we can have good civil conversations. And that's what they expect of us as leaders within the state. And so I bring that perspective into the office, which is good ideas can come from anywhere, and we should be able to talk to each other and move things forward. The other thing that I mentioned quite a bit is my mom grew up on a dairy farm outside of Richland Center. She went to a one-room schoolhouse through eighth grade. That's how rural my mother grew up. And I have an uncle who lives in St. Croix County who also still sits on a farm today where he does light farming. He's in his 70s now, so he's not a big dairy farmer anymore, but he used to be. And so I have really strong rural roots in Wisconsin and farming roots in Wisconsin. And so these are the kind of folks that, you know, when I was growing up, I visited my, you know, my uncle's farm. I visited folks, you know, within my family in these rural areas. And so I bring that perspective as well, to be able to bring that into Madison and say, hey, you know, there are other parts of the state that we need to be paying attention to. They have needs as well. And let's look across the entire state to make sure that everybody is thriving all the way across Wisconsin.
That's great. Just a couple preliminary things before we get to the first break, and then I got some more pointed questions, but... Early on, and now that you're elected along with Governor Evers, who was reelected, you've had discussions as a team.
Right.
How would you describe that relationship?
It's great. You know, we are going to be working hand in hand as we move forward for these next 4 years. I am excited to get started. I think I bring things to the table that we can capitalize on, whether that is my background in healthcare, whether, I've started my own small business. You know, there's areas that I think we can move forward on together. Governor Evers is an expert in education. I bring that expertise in healthcare. Those are really two solid kitchen table issues that people care about. And I know that Wisconsinites want us moving and working and moving forward. And those are the kind of things we're going to focus on. And I see our relationship as one as just working hand in glove, moving forward, doing what's best for Wisconsin.
Now, that's a very nice and rosy picture. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So and you can sort of tee this up for the next section when we come back from break. You don't have a state senate or a state assembly that is blue run.
No.
In fact, we have just the opposite, right?
Right. The Senate is, with Alberta Darling in her seat, is a supermajority, which means that they can overturn Governor Evers' vetoes if they get everybody on board, every Republican to vote the same way. The Assembly is two seats shy of a supermajority.
You hold that thought. Folks, this is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is the Paul Revere Show. We are here tonight with Lieutenant Governor-elect Sarah Rodriguez. We will be back in a couple minutes. Please come on back. Listen up. This is the place to be tonight on a Monday night.
The Devil's Advocates.
The plaintiff, Donald J. Trump, hereby serves his suit against the defendants, Hillary Clinton and her cohorts, orchestrated an unthinkable plot, one that shocks the conscience and is an affront to the nation's democracy. This week on Fox.
You know what I mean? Like you're throwing a few too many adverbs and adjectives in this sentence.
One man, one mission Donald Trump gets made fun of. This is Watergate 2.
Making radio great again.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8, all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's Friday.
Oh, it is Friday.
It was a short week, and it still feels like it was a long week. And we did it!
We did. Well, we're almost
it.
We almost did it.
We're still going to get through today. But we did it. We lived to tell about it. We're having fun.
Yeah. All kinds of fun things planned for today.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A winter storm watch begins at 6 a.m. Thursday morning and continues until 6 a.m. Saturday morning. Overcast tonight with a chance for snow. Lows around 17. South winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tomorrow, high of 26. Lows around 3 above tomorrow night. 2 to 4 inches of snow Wednesday night through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 19 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back, folks. This is attorney Mark Thompson. This is the Paul Revere Show. We are here on The Shaw, 540 AM, WAUK. 101 or 92.7 FM. Folks, we are here tonight with Lieutenant Governor-elect Sarah Rodriguez. This is a purple state. She is represents the blue side of that purple. And before we get into sort of some of the history that you made and some of the numbers from the election, we have one major correction. She's so excited about the fact that she's going to be the number two spot in the state.
That I said the wrong date. It's January 3rd that I am going to be sworn in. January 3rd, Tuesday, January 3rd.
2023, folks.
Yes.
After that date, she is going to be the second highest constitutional member of the executive branch of this great state of Wisconsin. So let's just spend a few minutes on how'd you get here, right?
Right. So, you know, my story, I think, is I don't know if it's different or whatever, but I was never planning on going into politics. That was not a dream of mine. It wasn't anything. I'm a nurse by training, and I've worked in healthcare for almost my entire career. I've worked in public health. I worked for the CDC. I was an epidemic intelligence service officer, did national, international outbreak investigations. This was my life. Public health and nursing was my life. And during the spring election with COVID, I was just honestly angry and disappointed in the legislature that they didn't meet for 8 months during a time where we didn't know what was going on, where we didn't have all of the information, and we needed our leadership to be there. And so I decided to run for assembly within my district, District 13, and I ran and I won by just the smallest of percentage points. I think it was 373 votes, I think I won by within my assembly. So I flipped a traditionally Republican seat and was in the assembly. And so, you know, I loved being in the assembly. I was grateful to be there. It was an honor to represent that district. But it can be frustrating at times because you're in the minority and you want to be able to work across the aisle. You want to be able to do things, and you have is that microphone, right? And as we were looking at the next election for governor, you know, I was thinking that I would like to have a bigger microphone, that I would like to be able to move things forward in a different way in the state of Wisconsin. I thought I had something to bring to the ticket with my healthcare background, my business background, and living in Waukesha County. I think that that is really, really important. And so I ran for lieutenant governor, and I said, you know what, this is something I'm going to do. I'm going to throw my hat in the ring here, and, you know, I'm going to see what the voters want. And they chose me as their nominee for lieutenant governor on the Democratic ticket. And then when we ran again and we just won. And it feels like it's been months, but it's been less than a month since we won.
That's right.
It's crazy.
The election was on November 8th.
There we go. So he's got the date.
And today is only December 5th.
It's only December 5th. It is absolutely crazy. It feels almost surreal. But I was, again, honored and humbled to be elected by the state of Wisconsin to be their next lieutenant governor, along with Governor Evers. And we won by 3.3%, a landslide in Wisconsin politics.
No, it is. I know you're joking about this, but those are significant numbers.
They are. They really are in Wisconsin. We just have such narrow margins at our presidential elections, our gubernatorial elections, anything statewide, very narrow. And so 3.3%, that's big in Wisconsin. And so what the Wisconsin people have said is that they trust Governor Evers. They want us to work on issues. They want us to be able to implement some of the initiatives that he has really focused on. And that's what I'm hoping, that our Assembly and our Senate will listen to the people of Wisconsin and move many of those very popular initiatives forward.
You know, one thing that I noticed as, you know, I serve on the Wisconsin Election Commission in terms of my public service obligations. And I specifically stayed up until Governor Evers' opposition gave his speech.
Yeah.
Because I've been watching what's going on around the country. And, you know, I've been on the commission since 2016. And I know that we run fair elections. And I know that the municipal clerks who actually run the elections count votes fairly.
And
there is no fraud. And so I was really wondering what was going to be said.
Yeah.
And when I heard the voice say, "I called Tony."
Yeah.
And conceded, I said, that's a good thing. I mean, I know the numbers.
Yeah.
There was no chance for a recount because he wasn't within the margins.
He wasn't within the margins.
So legally, he had no right.
Right.
But it was very important to me, and as a voter, but also someone who's part of that, to have someone that actually lose walk away.
Right. And my understanding, I wasn't there for that phone call, but Governor Evers indicated that Tim Michaels was very gracious on that phone call in his concession. And I really appreciate that Tim Michaels did that, because that is the foundation of our democracy, is that we have elections. They are free. They are fair. They are transparent. And we trust the process. And so I was very, very grateful that Tim Michaels did concede and that he called Governor Evers and was very gracious in that call. So thank you to him and his team for doing that.
Folks, this is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is the Paul Revere Show. I am here with Lieutenant Governor-elect Sarah Rodriguez, and we're going to be talking when we come back about her victory and her plans for the future, our future, folks, my kids' future, my grandkids' future. We will see you momentarily. Mark Thompson, WAUK 540 AM, The Paul Revere Show.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Special Report. The January 6th House Select Committee votes unanimously to adopt the report of their finding that includes four criminal referrals against former President Trump and several of his allies. CBS's Scott McFarlane lays them out.
It's an obstruction of an official proceeding charge. There's a conspiracy to defraud the United States. There's false statements willingly made to the United States. And then there's incitement of an insurrection, a charge so severe, none of the 930 people charged so far in January 6th and the U.S. Capitol riot have faced that charge.
Law professor and former Trump attorney John Eastman argued that then Vice President Mike Pence had the power to reject electoral votes. Eastman says of the January 6th panel,
it was clear from the get-go and seems to be now fully confirmed that they were acting like a grand jury or an FBI conducting a criminal investigation rather than a legislative body.
Former President Trump says the charges are fake. CBS News Special Report, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Van Meer with your headlines. Congressman-elect Derek Van Orden completing his training in Washington and setting up his office to start work as Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District Representative. Van Orden says he'll do his best to represent everyone in the district, including those who didn't vote for him. U.S. Representative Ron Kind is leaving that seat after serving since 1997. Kind is now in talks with the White House for his next job. Next year, state lawmakers will consider a series of major bipartisan changes in how the Wisconsin National Guard addresses sexual misconduct. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporting a study committee has been meeting since August on how to improve the Guard's response to allegations of harassment and assault. The proposals require the Guard issue 2 annual reports to the governor and legislature, providing data on how many reports of sexual harassment and assault occurred in the previous year. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
The Devil's Advocates, because freedom.
But Dom, we've been following a couple of big stories this week. Truck convoy leader has no idea where he is and is driving in circles around I-495. He didn't know precisely where he was going anyways or where he was at the time. Apparently, he put the convoy back on the road, headed back up north, and he's back in Scranton. So
I totally would have protested this tyranny, but damn, the traffic was so bad.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter. Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
Welcome back, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is the Paul Revere Show. We are here at WAUK 540 AM, the Shaw, downtown the great city of Waukesha. We are here every Monday night from 7 to 8 to talk about democracy. Tonight, we have the special honor and privilege of having Lieutenant Governor-elect Sarah Rodriguez spend some time with us and talk about her race and her victory. And we're back, Sarah. So where are we going to go?
You know, there are a lot of priorities that Governor Evers and I have discussed, particularly around the campaign trail, where we want to go. And these are the things that the public voted for. So that is fully funding our public schools. That's one area that I think is going to be really, really important for folks. We're going to fall off a fiscal cliff pretty soon with the public schools because of the dollars that came in from COVID. We're going to have to fill in some of those dollars that we need to make sure that the schools can still run appropriately.
Let me just throw in right here.
Yeah.
So you talked about COVID dollars. Those were dollars that came from President Biden and our Congress in D.C. to help the states out.
Correct.
In the middle of COVID.
Yes.
Those dollars are...
They're going to go away.
They're not coming in fresh.
No, they're not coming in fresh. And part of that was for infrastructure, but part of that was really to help kids and to be able to make sure they can navigate this environment. And so there are positions that were filled with those dollars, whether that is behavioral health within the school systems, adding more assistants, adding more teachers. And we're going to need to make sure that we can get back to the era pre-Walker, where we were really making sure that we were fully funding our public schools. And so that's a promise that Governor Evers has made. He wants to work with the Assembly and the Senate on it. It is wildly popular within the state of Wisconsin. People want us to invest in our kids, invest in our public schools.
Let me ask you this on that issue. Mm-hmm. What can listeners do to help you and Governor Evers accomplish that?
So honestly, especially in Waukesha County, which is, as of this moment, there is not a Democratic representation within the Assembly or the Senate for Waukesha County. So that is something that you can reach
out. Other than you.
Well, other than me, as of today, but as of January 3rd, that will not be the case.
Right. Meaning that there are no Democrats elected from this county in the Senate.
No, or the assembly. No, okay. Not anymore. So I was one of the first, and there will be no longer Democratic representation there. So email your representative, give them a phone call, tell them how important public schools are to you, and make sure that they know that you want them to work with Governor Evers to in this next budget cycle to be able to fully fund our public school systems. That is going to be a priority as we move forward. Absolutely.
This is an issue for small towns, small cities.
Absolutely.
Medium-sized cities and big cities like Milwaukee.
It's everywhere. It's an important issue everywhere, but particularly in rural areas, those public schools are just the heart of those communities. People come to watch the football games. They come to watch, the kids play. It is almost like a community center. And so if we are not fully funding those public schools, they can't offer the types of services that the communities need and that the kids need. And so we are going to have to make sure that those dollars are going back into our communities, are going back into our public schools. Another area which I think is really important that people need to understand is public safety. So one of the things that has happened over the years within Wisconsin is, and I'm going to talk about it, it's a little wonky, but I'm going to talk about it. So we all pay taxes within our communities, and we pay taxes to the state government. And the state government uses what it needs to be able to do statewide services. And then we share that revenue back to the communities. And we say, here, we don't need the rest of these dollars. We want to give this money back to you so that you can use it in the ways that your communities see fit. So for example, Mayor Chevy Johnson, Cavalier Johnson within Milwaukee has said that he would like to increase some FTE on the police force in certain areas. He'd also like to increase social services and other areas. He cannot do that because we have not increased the revenue back to those cities in years and years and years. And so we are starving our communities. And it doesn't matter if they're blue or red or purple. I worked with different communities within Waukesha County who all say the same thing. They want that additional shared revenue back to those communities so they can use it the way that their communities want them to. And so that could be a public pool. That could be a public park. That could be more policing. All of those things relate to public safety and community. And so we want to make sure that communities have the funding that they need to be able to provide those services.
You know, when you ran for office and you spent a lot of time traveling all over the state talking to people, how did people respond when you said, look at all the communities, everybody's getting starved by this policy coming out of
the state,
all bright red Republican Madison,
right?
How do they respond to that? Because so, that's sort of the contradiction, right?
Right.
They're getting starved, but they're voting for.
But they're voting. Oftentimes, they're voting for Republicans who continue this policy.
Right. Continue to starve them.
Continue to starve the communities for the resources that they need, which is unfortunate. So, number one, I think it's a little wonky. So it's a little like you have to explain it, what shared revenue means, and you have to explain those dollars back into the community. And so most people were not aware that that was going on. Most people were unaware that the governor had always added in his budget to increase those dollars back to the communities, and the Republicans remove it in each of those budget cycles. And so that's what's a little frustrating, is that this is what their communities want and what's my communities want. And I have always have faith that the Republican-led legislature will listen to the communities that are out there, and they will again go ahead and add some additional revenue so that if communities want to focus on public safety, they can do that.
Do you think there is any chance that there will be some moderation of the from the leadership in the, you know, the state Senate and the state assembly on this issue?
I certainly hope so. I absolutely hope so. We are having the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. And so the Republicans have acknowledged that we have a world class city here in the state. And so why are we continuing to starve that city for resources? Let's make sure you already know it's a world-class city. You're bringing your convention here. You know about all of the different amenities that we have within the city and how amazing it is. And so let's put additional dollars into the city of Milwaukee, but also all the communities across the state of Wisconsin. And so giving those dollars back to those taxpayers, giving those dollars back to the community, that's a priority of the governor. And I hope springs eternal that they will listen to the constituents and that this is what they're going to do moving forward.
You know, you talk about the city and the fact that the Republican National Convention is going to be there.
Yes.
And, you know, we miss sort of that opportunity because of COVID.
Yeah,
when the Democratic Party was going to be there. You know, I mean, we were sort of there virtually.
I know.
But, you know, I have the luck. It's just my bias because I live in that city. But, you know, we're surrounded by fresh water.
Yeah.
You know, we have Superior, North, we have Michigan here. Here's Waukesha County, mm-hmm. right? Lake Country.
Yeah.
My brother was just up this past weekend to say hi to me, and he's in Phoenix. They don't have any water.
Yeah.
There's such an opportunity for us as a people to move forward.
Right.
If we didn't starve our population.
Starve the communities, starve. I mean, that's if you want to increase business development, if you want to, you know, ensure public safety, if you want to make sure that your communities have the resources that they need, that's what that shared revenue is for. And so there are so many different things that community, you know, all politics is local and all needs are local. And so the folks at the ground level within those cities, within those counties, should be able to take those dollars and make decisions along with the input of their community about where those dollars should go. And right now they're just unable to do that because they just have to fund the basic services for those communities. And if they're not going to get additional funding, they're going to have to cut some services that they don't want to. And whether that's public parks or pools or all of those other things, they have to make sure they're funding their police and fire. They have to make sure they're funding their, you know, sanitation workers, all of those other things. And so what's going to be the first to go is things that are nice but not necessary. I consider them necessary. I think public parks are necessary within our
libraries,
communities.
I mean, it's a culture, right?
It is.
I mean, if you don't have a culture, then you're...
Right, exactly. I think those are necessary. But at the end of the day, when they're looking at cuts, what are they going to do? You know, and so that's a real issue for me because I love my public library. There are so many services you can get there. And it is one of the only places in the community that you can go with no expectation of spending money. And so if we were going to be able to get rid of those things, what a huge blight on our community. So that's why we need to fund it. We want to make sure our libraries are funded. We want to make sure our public parks are funded, along with anything else that the communities want to do.
So we've talked about public safety. We've talked about public schools. You mentioned that you've always had an interest in small business.
Yes. Yeah.
What kind of initiatives do you see as possible?
Yeah.
Now with the Evers Rodriguez era.
So, you know, so depending on some of the statistics that you look at out there, Wisconsin has one of the lowest rates of like new business openings within the country. So I think we need to take a deeper dive as into why that is. You know, what barriers do we have within the state that make it so that we're not opening up some of these small businesses here? So let's look at that, number one. Number two, Governor Evers had this fantastic program, and it was basically a Main Street bounce back program where people could get $10,000 to, as long as they were willing to open up a store in on a shuttered main street within a town. And if you think about that, some of these small, and it went everywhere, all across the state. And some of these smaller towns, they had 5-6 people that took advantage of that. That could be the whole street.
Sure.
And so now you've revitalized the downtown. You've got people coming in. You're able to open up these small businesses. That just it snowballs within the community in terms of positive effects all the way across the board. And so whether we would expand on that program or look at something new, I'm data driven myself. And so I also want to hear from people. So I want to hear from them. I want to see what the data looks like. And then let's create some programs that, you know, will provide some success for our small businesses within Wisconsin.
What do you expect sort of the response from the other side on those issues?
I would hope that they would be responsive to really focusing on some small businesses. Many of my Republican colleagues are small business owners themselves. And so they understand some of the barriers that we have, you know, within Wisconsin, you know, whatever barriers they had when they were opening up their business. Again, hope springs eternal. We should, if the good ideas come from either party, we should be able to, you know, implement those. And so I am hopeful that they will do, again, what Wisconsinites want them to do, which is work with Governor Evers, move Wisconsin forward, make sure our economy is strong. And we've got some good ideas to do that. So, you know, let's work together.
Folks, this is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is the Paul Revere Show. We are downtown Waukesha, Wisconsin. This is The Shaw, WAUK 540 AM, 101 or 92.7 FM. We are here tonight with Lieutenant Governor-elect Sarah Rodriguez, and she'll be back on the other side of the break to talk a little bit about health care and women's reproductive rights and the next big election in the state for the Supreme Court of Wisconsin, April. We'll be right back, folks.
The bakers of Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads are proud to support local education with Loaves for Learning, the program that makes it easy to earn money for your school. Enjoy Country Hearth and Village Hearth all-natural breads, buns, bagels, and more, then save the UPC from the package for your school to collect and redeem. Each is worth 5 cents and can be used for books, computers, sports, music, whatever your school needs, up to $10,000 a year. Learn more at loavesforlearning.com. Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Taking it to the street.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Veterans, whatever you're going through, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A winter storm watch begins at 6 a.m. Thursday morning and continues until 6 a.m. Saturday morning. Cloudy tonight with a chance of scattered snow showers. Lows level off around 17. South winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tomorrow, high of 26. Lows around 3 above tomorrow night. 2 to 4 inches of snow Wednesday night through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 19 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
Welcome back, folks. Attorney Mark Thompson. This is the Paul Revere Show. We're here at WAUK 540 AM. 101 or 92.7 FM every Monday night from 7 to 8 to talk about democracy in the state of Wisconsin and how to keep us moving forward. We are here tonight with Lieutenant Governor-elect Sarah Rodriguez. And just before the break, we said we're going to come back and talk about sort of the state of Wisconsin. Where do we go from here? In light of the fact that our U.S. Supreme Court abolished a woman's right to choose, her constitutional right, a right that existed for half a century.
Over 50 years.
Right? A long time. And here we are now faced living in a state where women and doctors taking care of women have a law that is passed in 1849 when women couldn't vote as the law of the land. I mean, it's just, if somebody would have told me this when I went to law school back in 1984, 85, I would have just said, are you kidding me? It can't happen, right? We don't overrule people's constitutional rights in the United States.
Right.
So, okay, now you're going to be Lieutenant Governor, January 3rd, 2023. How does that fight an issue or debate look from your vantage point, your new vantage point?
Well, if you ask the people of Wisconsin what they want women to be able to choose what happens to their bodies. That's what they want. If you ask them that, that's what they want. And so there is a lawsuit that's going on right now with the governor and the attorney general that's working its way through the courts. It basically says this 1849 law is so archaic and so old, we can't implement it. Right. And so that's going to move through the court systems. We're going to try to do that moving forward. But what the governor has been clear at is that he would accept legislation from the legislature that would codify Roe within the state of Wisconsin. That is what the Wisconsinites want. And I'm not sure if your listeners are aware, but the other thing that the governor also offered to the Republican-led legislature is, okay, you don't want to put the legislation out there. You don't think that's what the folks in Wisconsin want. Let's put it to referendum. Let's put a referendum out there. Let's ask the voters what they want. And the Republicans gaveled in and out of that session in less than 30 seconds. Wouldn't even allow you, me, every voter in this state to have a vote on this very, very important issue. Look, I'm a nurse. I know what happens when we do not allow physicians to be able to make decisions in concert with their patients for the best outcome for the patient, that pregnant patient. And so we're going to continue to hear really awful stories in Wisconsin. We already have some that have been in the news about what happens when physicians are not allowed to make the best decisions for their patients. That's going to continue to happen in Wisconsin until we codify Roe. That is continually going to happen. And it's so frustrating for me as a nurse, for me as a clinician, and for me as a woman with a daughter. You know, my mom, she's 77. She says to me, Sarah, we've done this before. We have done this before. Why are we back here again?
That's right. She did it when she was in her 20s.
She did it in her 20s.
Right?
Yeah.
She said, let me have my freedom.
Yeah.
Got her freedom. And then 77, looking back and say, what happened?
Exactly.
Right? You know, one thing that people really haven't talked about much, at least from, I haven't heard the Republican leadership talk about it at all. How does this impact healthcare and doctors?
Yeah.
And how do we attract doctors to our state? And how do we attract doctors to rural areas? I mean, we already have a problem there, right?
We do. We already have a shortage of OBGYNs within Wisconsin. That's obstetricians, gynecologists. That was pre-Roe decision. That was pre-overturning of Roe. So now you've got a situation in Wisconsin where we already have a shortage of obstetricians. And now you've got a situation in Wisconsin where they can't fully practice to their full scope of license, that they may be, prosecuted in some counties within the state of Wisconsin for doing what's best for their patients. If I was a clinician, a new clinician moving forward, I'm not sure that I would want to take that risk with my license. I would look for a state where I could fully function as a provider and not be risking legal consequences or losing my license for doing what's best for my patient. Mm-hmm. An oath that I took as a clinician.
Right.
So that's what's really frustrating, is that we're going to continue to have issues with recruitment here in Wisconsin.
So the referendum that mm-hmm. was floated the last
session. Mm-hmm.
Do you anticipate you and the governor floating that again?
You know, I'm not sure what would happen with the referendum again. The reason why we wanted to do it last session is because it needs to pass twice. And so if it passes now, because people are, they're having issues today. And this is it's a critical issue that we have in Wisconsin. And so we want to move it as quickly as possible. So that's why we wanted to do it last session. Then we could pass it again this session, and then it could it'd be done. It could go to referendum.
So now you have to focus on codifying, meaning we need
legislation. If we want to get it done this year, we need legislation that codifies Roe, or we need it to go through the legal system that we've already put in place. So those are the two pathways. If we wanted to do something this year, we can also always try for a referendum again. But again, it's going to have to pass with two different sessions.
So listeners could weigh in on that. Contact the Republican leadership in the Senate and the Assembly. Say codify Roe. Give us our Roe rights back.
Exactly.
So
codify Roe, and that legislation already exists. I mean, we've already done that. There is legislation that we've already put out there, from the Democratic Party that does that very thing. And that we have put that legislation out there every session to codify Roe within the state.
And they just won't
give it. And they won't even give it a hearing.
Right. Well, right.
And they won't bring it to a vote.
Right.
And they won't let the people speak and do a referendum. So that's what's really frustrating, is they're just not listening to the constituents in Wisconsin.
So that tees up here. We got a minute left.
Mm-hmm.
There is a big race for the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Yes.
That will address these issues.
It will.
And we have
huge
a swing seat, right? The court can go one way or the other.
The court right now is 4.
You got 30 seconds.
3. Yes, absolutely. The Supreme Court race is going to be important. This spring election is going to be important. Make sure, if you're not registered to vote, you got to be registered to vote. I hope you are already. But make sure you don't miss the spring election. It's going to be really, really, really important. And I would be remiss if I did not congratulate you on your award from the Wisconsin Association of Justice, the Robert L. Habish Trial Lawyer of the Year. Congratulations, Mark. That is fantastic.
That is so, so kind. Lieutenant Governor-elect Sarah Rodriguez. So, yeah, it's a big deal.
It is a big deal to
recognize and honor by your peers. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Folks, that's it for the Paul Revere Show on this Monday, December 5th. Come on back next week. Join us. Turn these things into a podcast. And go register to vote.
Join Max Inc. Radio this New Year's Eve as we present live at thespaceship.tv. Max Inc. Radio will broadcast live from the spaceship.tv studios 6 p.m. to midnight, plus live performances from the Civil Engineers. Linda and the Zeros. Porky's Groove Machine.
Who's there, the Spice Girls? Muy caliente.
They're not hitting. Live streaming video at thespaceship.tv and live on this Civic Media station. Let's party New Year's Eve starting at 6 p.m. live from thespaceship.tv. Happy New Year's from Civic Media and Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.